grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to you. From God our Father, and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's words for our pondering as we think about our role together as partners in gospel ministry is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. You'll find it on page 1181, Philippians 4. The Apostle Paul writes, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you Philippians renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I should interject here. Paul is sitting in prison in Rome as he is writing this. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gift. What I desire is that more may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the words of our God. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, do we as Christians know how good we have it? Salvation free to us through the blood of Jesus. Life is lived with confidence because of the empty tomb and the promises of God. Each day is a journey with a friend named Jesus who speaks to us on the road of life. A gift, peace, a friend. How cool the Christian walk. And oh, how amazing is the blessing of this God-man Jesus. The one who took on flesh. He stepped into our dilemma. He owned our issue. He freed us by his death. He is the God with skin on who gets us and gets us and our struggles. An amazing good news message that our faith just grabs hold of each and every day that makes us partners in this gospel, this good news ministry. I'm sure we all know that when God brought us to faith in Jesus as our Savior, we became ministers or servants ourselves of this message, good news message of salvation. The Apostle Peter tells us so. He says this in 1 Peter 2. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Our faith makes us partners in Jesus' gospel ministry. How cool is that? But what exactly does that mean? Well, the Apostle Paul would say to us today that the God with skin on will help shape our thinking and how we see things in this life. The year was approximately 61 A.D., It had been 32 years since the God with skin on had walked this soil. His apostles, men sent out with the gospel, had been doing their thing for 32 years, as long as God was giving them breath. And in truth, all that Paul needed while sitting in prison in Rome was breath. So you see, with Paul's imprisonment, he was not in a dungeon the way he would be when he wrote the second letter to Timothy. With this imprisonment, Paul was under house arrest, living with a guard at the door of his small house, a guard who would keep him from coming and going. And he was in under house arrest for 2 years before he finally got an audience with Caesar to hear the accusations of him as being a rabble-rouser and a rebel. Imagine your world, shrunk to a small house with four walls for 2 years. But Paul's friends and people could come and go and visit him. So all that Paul really needed was breath to tell people about the God who took on flesh to save us from sin. But you see, Paul had gospel ministry to do. That's what he was called to do. His faith put him in that position as a partner in gospel ministry. Now, as I thought about Paul's situation, I thought to myself, and I thought I'd include you, would you and I whine just a little bit to God if we were sent to our room for 2 years? Would we whine just a little bit with a timeout lasting 2 years? Imagine that. And it never ceases to amaze me that the book of Philippians is Paul's letter of joy. Four short chapters, but 16 times he rejoices in the blessings of God while he is in prison. Do the circumstances of your life ever make it seem that you are somehow living in a cage? Trapped in your circumstances with no hope of getting out. You know, medicine is an amazing thing and can free us from cancer, but the apprehension is always still there. Counseling can be an amazing help in the middle of a turbulent relationship, but do I really have to go home? And I have a job, and I have a paycheck, but why does it always seem that the needs outweigh the dollars coming in? We all have our personal cage. How did Paul find joy in his cage? Well, it was the God with skin on who allowed Paul to see beyond the horizon of his shrunken world, those four walls. You see, Jesus, remember how he hung on a cross? His world shrunk to that place, that moment, that situation. But before he got there, he had said this to us as people: if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What truth from Jesus set Paul free to rejoice in his circumstances? Well, across the Roman Empire, there would have been tens of thousands of people sitting in Roman prisons, waiting to be flogged, beaten, crucified. Many because they deserved it, some because they did not. But many people who did not know the true God or believe in him. And their world, their life had always been the four walls of this life, trying to make this life all it could be. And now, for whatever reason, the rulers of the day, the Romans, had shrunk their world down to the four walls of a prison cell. Living without a hope, they probably gnashed their teeth at the authorities. No vision beyond their cells because they did not see anything but this life. But not the Apostle Paul. You see, Paul was in prison because he had been talking about the Creator God, honoring him. Paul was in prison because he had been sharing the good news of this Jewish Savior. If the world didn't appreciate his voice in the conversation, they could silence him, which eventually they would, and as legend says, the Roman short sword taking Paul's life. Paul was probably part of Martin Luther's inspiration to one day write these words that we know well: take they my life, goods, fame, child, and wife, let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. Christ holds the field of battle forever. You see, Paul's eyes could see beyond the horizon. beyond his cage. Paul could see heaven. And Paul could see the God with skin on who had walked this earth to set him free. So life was good because the best was yet to come. Now, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me, that I would still be tempted to whine just a little bit at God. This was no 5-star hotel. There was no NFL network. There was no freedom. But Paul could see forever, and I wonder to myself, would that really be enough for my daily joy? Faith does interesting things to the eyes of the Christian. Paul's faith saw eternity as the cake, the item at the end of the menu that would be sweet to his palate one day. But the Apostle Paul, his eyes could also see the frosting on the cake. The sweetness, the extra blessing that was sweet to him in the day to day. Let Paul describe it for us earlier in this letter to the Philippians. He wrote this. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Dear friends, what is the one thing that you and I can take with us from this life to heaven? Well, that one thing is people. The people that our lives touch. Not your golf clubs, your Kindle books, your social media device, not your truck, not your dog. Don't let that throw you. Talk to me afterwards. It's okay. The Packers can only go with you to heaven if you tell them about Jesus. Paul knew his purpose in life, people. And even in the moment of struggle, Paul knew God's purpose for his life, people. And what a joy it was for Paul to take people to heaven. So in his cage, in his house, in his chains, he found joy in spending time with people and telling them about this God with skin on who had walked the earth to save us from our sins and give us vision beyond the horizon of this world, beyond the walls of whatever is our cage. And so as a partner in gospel ministry, the Apostle Paul never stopped sharing what alone matters. Friday afternoon, I was at my desk trying to finish off this sermon. The last 10 days of my life have been a pretty full schedule. And so I was feeling caged in by the need to get this sermon done. So I had shrunk the walls of my life down to the four walls of my office, and the writing was flowing. And all of a sudden, Tammy Miller knocks on my door. And she says, "Could you take time to talk to a Muskego police officer? They are working with a homeless family over by Walmart, and they are wondering if we could somehow help. They've bought the family lunch, but is there something else that we could do?" And my first thought was, wow, I need to get this sermon done. But immediately the next thought was, oh, forget that. This is a God moment. This is an opportunity. This is people. This is God asking me to share the God with skin on. And so off I went to Burger King to meet with a family who are gypsies from Romania, who speak very little English. I think 3 years in America, Homeland Security documentation making it legal for them to be here, but not able to work full time. I found that interesting. So living from job to job, cash under the table to make their lives work. Illinois plates on their minivan that with the steering column that would vibrate mightily at 60, 70 miles an hour on the road. Their world shrunk to the walls of a Kia minivan. So I meet Alex and Kichu, his wife, 3 months pregnant, not feeling so good in the sun. And I met their 6-year-old son, Fabrizio. Now, my frustration in the moment was not the sermon. The frustration in the moment was the language barrier that kept me from sharing with them the God with skin on, the message, what they really needed to know. This ministry that we together do. So what did we together do for Alex and Kichu and Fabrizio? Well, we gave them some night's lodging and some pick and save gift cards for food. But part of me says, I can see heaven for them. And how can I share God with skin on with them, the God who came and walked this earth? I need to find someone who speaks Romanian Gypsy to share with them what really matters and to give them vision beyond the horizon of this life and beyond the walls of their minivan. You see, my friends, this is what we as God's people do. The God who took on flesh to save us from sin and from the cage of this world has given us faith to see him now. And seeing him now drives our living. The God with skin on commands us to love as he loves us. We are privileged to be God with skin on for others. Paul helps us understand a bit better. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Not that I desire your gifts. I am amply supplied, now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, pleasing to God. Why did God ask St. Paul's to get involved in the lives of Alex and Kichu and Fabrizio? Why did we help them monetarily and with shelter? Do you think that if we had turned down this opportunity that God had given us to love the people in front of us, that somehow they would have fallen through God's grasp and fallen to the ground and not been loved? Hardly. Our God doesn't need us to take care of people. But each and every day in our lives, he gives us opportunities. He daily opens the doors for us to be his hands and his feet and his heart. God with skin on, being involved anyway. The Apostle Paul had learned contentment in his cage. He had enough food and water, and he still had breath to share the gospel. He didn't really need the Philippians' gift. One of my favorite hymns is hymn 355, Take the World, But Give Me Jesus. I am not going to sing it for you, lest I be known as the pastor who always sings. But take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. But his love abides forever, through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. My friends, the Apostle Paul found joy because in his cage, in his cell, he knew how to die in Jesus. And someday that would come. Great joy. But the Apostle Paul also knew how to live. Take the world. I don't need it. Just give me Jesus. But what a comfort it was still for Paul to receive the gifts of care and concern from the Philippians, God's people. Imagine the joy of Paul's heart when the face of Epaphroditus appeared in the doorway of his prison home. A long, dangerous journey from Philippi for God's people to say through that man, we love you, Paul, we care about you, we are concerned about you, and we want to share in this ministry. Rather like a Lutheran casserole arriving at the door of your house the night before a surgery, how it warms our hearts. Come in, my friend, Paul would have said with joy. It is good to see you. It is good to have God with skin on, as he gave him a hug. Another of our hymns says it so well, hymn 491, O Master of the Loving Heart. O Master of the Loving Heart, the friend of all in need, we pray that we may be like you in thought and word and deed. Your days were full of kindly acts. Your speech was true and plain. Of those who ever sought you, Lord, none came to you in vain. Your face was warm with sympathy. Your hand God's strength revealed. Who saw your face or felt your touch were comforted and healed. Oh, grant us hearts like yours, dear Lord, so joyous, free, and true, that all your children everywhere be drawn by us to you. God with skin on, he is who we are. He is what we do. What a privilege to be his heart, his hands, and his feet. Alex and Kichu and Fabrizio and their unborn child, so dear to God. What of them? I don't know. Do any of you speak Romanian Gypsy? The beauty is that our God sees beyond their horizon, beyond the walls of their minivan, and he will care for them. And we? Well, we are privileged in this time and in this place to play a role. For our eyes see heaven. Our eyes see the God with skin on who took care of our greatest need. He drives how we live. In a few moments, my friends, we will approach together the supper of our Lord. Take time to ponder your God who came with skin on, to walk this earth, to give us life, and to give us a view beyond the horizons of this world. Take and eat. This is my body, he will say. Take and drink. This is my blood, he will say. I am the God with skin on, and I have made all things new for you.